My name is Noah. I'm one of the pastors here, and a lot of us men have had a great weekend, and we'll tell you more about that, or you'll see more about that later. Perhaps you heard of the guy who was sailing around the world by himself, and he ended up being shipwrecked on a deserted island in the South Pacific. Well, he was quite a handyman, and so he was able to build himself a fairly nice hut and waited. It took a long time. Finally, after about 3 years, a ship came by and they saw him waving, and so they pulled in to rescue him. And as they were rescuing him, they noticed there were three huts, one there, one over there, one there. And they said, "Hey, they all look pretty neat. Tell me about those. What's that hut?" He said, "Oh, that hut, that's where I live." They go, "Oh, that's great. That's a good hut. Well, what is that hut?" "Oh, that hut there, that hut, that's where I go to church." He said, "Oh, you're a religious man." "No, I'm a follower of Jesus, and that's where I go. That's mine." They said, "Well, what's that hut over there?" "That's where I used to go to church." Ooh, you laugh. You understand? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good one, huh? Oh, gosh. People have so much trouble getting along, we sometimes can't even get along with ourselves. Ah, my. As we all know, conflict is no stranger to the Christian. We deal with conflict in the church. We deal with conflict in our home. We deal with conflict at school. We deal with conflict at our work. We deal with conflict with our friends, or with our strangers, their friends, or their family. I mean, it's there. It comes. You can't escape it. It's going to happen. But God hasn't ignored this difficulty of life. He's written about it. He's given us instructions for it. Matter of fact, Pastor Roger pointed out last week as we're having 2 weeks on this to try to deal with conflict. We hope it's enough to help us do a good job with it and handle it well as a church and as individuals. Roger dealt with it last week, talking about going for the win. That is, that we can go for reconciliation. We can deal with the issue in a biblical manner, and in that, be able to take care of the conflict, to work through it, resolving the conflict. That's the win for us. This Sunday, I get to piggyback on what Pastor Roger, on his excellent message last week. If you didn't hear it, go online, you can hear it. I get to piggyback off that and add a few other comments that are from the book of Proverbs, a few guidelines there that we can have that helps us in dealing with conflict. Now, in doing this, I am assuming that you have not yet worked out all your conflict perfectly. I am assuming that you still have a few issues, perhaps, to deal with somebody in your life. I'm assuming that you have children, perhaps. I'm assuming that you have that some of you are married, and therefore you have conflict. Oh, maybe not your marriage. Maybe it's just that other person that you need to understand how to deal with conflict, so you can help your friends with their conflict. So, you know, maybe it's that for you. Or I'm assuming that you have relatives and you will have conflict. I'm assuming that you are alive, and thus you will eventually have conflict. So with that, a bit of proverbial wisdom could do us all some good. Adding to what we had last week, which is good enough, but there's a lot the Scripture has to say about it. And so it would be helpful for us to look at some of the wisdom for us as we deal with the personal wars. And we all have those. Solomon, the wisest man that has ever lived, wrote down some proverbs for us. He wrote most of all the proverbs that we have in our Bible. They were compiled between the years 950 and 700, compiled during that time, B.C., providing wisdom for living. That's what we have there. In the we have wisdom for living for all people at all times, at all places. That's what the Bible touches. It's for all people at all times, at all places. It's God's truth, and these are some proverbs for us to help us in dealing with the realm of conflict resolution. If you're in a conflict now, or you have someone that maybe a sour disagreement with them, Solomon advises for us our next approach. He says to us in Proverbs 15 that we should use pleasant words. You have a conflict with someone, you're dealing with some issues. He is saying pleasant words are good. Look at what it says in Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. New International or New Living Translation says it this way: a gentle answer deflects anger, but hard words make tempers flare. One of my better remembrances of my youth was going quail hunting with my dad. My dad would often, well, he loved to hunt quail. He lived to hunt quail. And as I was growing up, he taught me early on how to do this with him. I loved it, part of my DNA. And I remember one time particularly, I was about 14, and I was hunting with my dad and two of his friends, Ticky, he got his name because when he was a kid, he went out in the woods and he came back with a whole lot of ticks on him, and so they called him Ticky ever since that. And so Ticky and his other friend, Walter. And so we're all hunting quail, and my dad happened to be a little bit quicker and a little more accurate in shooting the quail. Now, you may be thinking, I'm just thinking nicely about my father. No, it is true. He was that way. He was really good. And so we're out, we're hunting, and a covey jumps up. We jump a covey, and all of us get one or two birds. And then after that happens, if you're familiar with quail hunting, they scatter, and you go and you search for the singles. You're trying to get the singles to come up. And so we're out doing the singles, and I don't know how this built up, but I remember we were kind of in some woods, and a bird flushed, and my dad, being quick on the draw and accurate in his aim, knocked that one out of the sky. But that was followed by a shot from Ticky. You see, Ticky was a bit slower, and his buckshot was all heading towards a dead bird. You know, now, Ticky didn't like that, and so Ticky responded with quite a bit of ranting and raving, saying, "What are you doing? That was my turn. That was my bird. What'd you shoot for?" And my dad, you know, he kind of responded likewise in a few words, and some words I can't mention here. And, you know, and I'm standing there, 14-year-old kid, you know, and it's a little awkward. You know, I felt pretty uneasy. But then Walter spoke up. And Walter said, gentlemen, take it easy. Calm down. I don't remember anything else he said. He said some more. He probably said, there will be another bird, you know, probably something of that nature. But what I do remember is that when my dad and Ticky were going at it, the harsh words were causing the anger to flare up, and I remember the soothing words of Walter as he spoke, how that calmed everything down. And that's what Solomon is telling us. What we discovered here with my dad and Ticky is that both Ticky and my dad's harsh words were making anger happen. But Walter's words turned away wrath. Those well-placed words, 45 years ago, I can still hear and I still see. It was wonderful to see a reflection of the wisdom of Solomon calming things down and soothing these two friends back to where they ought to be. That's what Solomon says for you and me. You have conflict with someone? Pleasant words. He also says something similar in chapter 16, verse 21. The wise in heart will be called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Pleasant words increase the possibility of agreement. We understand that. Now, we're not talking about flattery. He's not saying flattery. And he's not saying some sweet, dishonest words to get somebody off your back. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is have that common sense of understanding. If you speak nicely to someone, they're most likely to respond to you in a pleasant way. It's not like sometimes I've seen people do at a restaurant, and they're a little upset about their meal. And they call the waiter, "Hey, waitress, come here. What does your cook think? You know, what does your cook think a medium well steak supposed to look like anyway? This thing it's raw. Can you take it back to him and tell him to cook it a little bit more for me to take it to him?" Now, that steak is probably going to come back well done. It's liable to come back with a little spittle sizzled in it. Or if you watched the movie The Help, maybe something else. I don't know. But, you know, you did see the movie, yeah. But rather, if your steak isn't done right, it's not done enough. If you notice that, you know, you cut into it and you go, oh gosh, okay. And the waitress comes by and says, hey, ma'am, please. I like my steak a little more done. Could you please ask the cook to cook a little more? I'd really appreciate that if he could do that. Would that be okay? Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. That one's going to work okay. She's going to take it back and she's going to tell him, don't spit in this one. You know, she's going to say, you can cook it a little bit more, please. And he's a nice guy or a nice lady. And it's common sense. Sometimes we don't practice that kind of common sense. Pleasant words are more persuasive. With your friend that you're mad at, with your kid that's done something stupid, pleasant words. With your parent that you're mad at, pleasant words to you. But you know, that works pretty good, kids. You be nice to mom and dad, they're liable to be nice to you. Who would have thought? Anyway, verse 24 of chapter 16 adds, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Good passage. Pleasing words are sweet to the soul. They go deep down within our innermost being. Wow. And they're healing to our body. They help us emotionally, and as we all know, they help us physically. Both ways. They relieve stress, relieve tension, help relieve anger. We know help with even cancer and things of that nature. If good attitude, it just plays out. There it goes. And by the way, this works both ways. The one saying the words and the one receiving the words, both are helped. It works. It works that way. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Some of you are familiar with the New Testament book of James and chapter 3. James gives us some good instructions as followers of Christ for our tongue. He tells us that the mature believer will control his or her tongue. Says it's really hard to do. You remember the whole passage, almost impossible. But the mature person will control his or her tongue and use it for good. I need to say something at this time. This is a very good time to be a part of Oakwood Church. This is an amazing time to be a part of Oakwood Church. God is doing so much. Hardly a week goes by that some verbal report doesn't come, hardly a week goes by that some verbal report does not come to me. Almost every week does a report come to me of God working in someone's life. You as a group are beginning to listen more to the Spirit of God in your life, not waiting on someone to drag you into Christianity lifestyle, but hearing the Spirit of God and saying, hey, I'm going to do this. I don't have to have someone making me do it. The Spirit of God is moving me this direction. I'm going to go ahead and do what I ought to do. I'm not going to wait on Pastor Noah or Pastor Roger or any of us. I'm going to do it. Wow. Amen. Everybody else say amen, right? Without. Ready? Amen. All right. Yeah, cool. That is great. This past weekend, many of our men were involved in either our own little personal men's retreat or the No Regrets Conference at Elmbrook and Westbrook and elsewhere. We had a good group. Matter of fact, men, if you were part of that, why don't you stand right now? If you were part of either of those, stand up. Oh, you got to stand up. Okay, there you go. Good group. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now sit down and I'm going to get after you. No, sit down and I'm going to remind you of some of these men. The Spirit of God, most all of them, the Spirit of God worked on real good. Yeah. And some of them even made some drastic, major resolutions in their life that they are to carry out. And they're before God will do that. Let me say, if they start doing that, you will see big changes within God's work through Oakwood Church. It's amazing what God is. This is a good time to be a part of Oakwood Church. And one thing we need to remember, all of us guys that were there that got to hear Tony Evans. Now, I didn't hear him personally. I was over at Westbrook, but I got to see him on the video. He's great. And some of you guys remember him talking about being kingdom men. And part of being kingdom men is not being a SMO, Sunday morning only person. Yeah, don't be a SMO, but also involved in the ministry. Let me say this to you. If you become more and more involved in the ministry, you will be more and more involved in people. And the more you're involved in people, the more likely you will have conflict. And in having that conflict, you have the great privilege of doing what the Bible says and obeying what the Word of God says. You're going to have plenty of opportunity, let me tell you. And that's okay, because iron sharpens iron. And as we are together and being what we ought to be together, we will, instead of making each other frustrated, we will make each other greater men and women of faith. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen there. Now, some of these people will, you're going to have conflict with them sooner than others. And sometimes if they're a sooner, you'll have conflict with them sooner than others. Oklahoma Sooners. All right. I named my dog Boomer. Boomer Sooner. All right. Here we go. You will have conflict. We have that opportunity to use words that are pleasant and help lead to agreement and healing. A second guideline for us is to seek love. Seek love. Proverbs 17:9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Let's say your friend Bill had a bad day, and as he's talking to you, he's just not what he ought to be. He says some very sharp words to you, and then he walks off with disgust with you written all over his face. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, brother? Oh, yeah, I am a Christian. Okay. What am I going to do, sister? How am I going to respond to this? Now, if you forgive a fault, if you forgive a sin against you, you are at that moment allowing God's love to reign in your life and choosing to allow to just forgive it. And you know what? That's good. Those work well. You can forgive. Really? Yes, we have that ability to forgive someone who was short with us, who said some things perhaps they shouldn't have said. We can forgive. But if you refuse to forgive and decide that you're going to go repeat the matter to others, that messes up friendships. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. I know what you say. Oh, I got it was so juicy. I've got to say it. All right, you wouldn't believe what he said about me. And we have that kind of thought, and we decide, I'll just tell Dave. And Dave, now when I tell you, now Dave, promise me you're not going to tell anybody, right? You can't tell one person, right? Right, Dave? Okay. Well, no, you can't tell your wife. But we say, I'll just tell one person, and you tell them, and you tell them just not to tell anybody, but they think, well, you tell one person, I'm going to tell one person. I mean, we might not think that way, but often that's how it happens. And you're to your closest friend, you say, you're not going to believe this, but Pastor Noah, you know, you're not going to believe this, but... And it separates even closest of friends. It's not worth it. Why? Why are you doing that? Why do we think we have to do that? Well, we think we have to do it. You tell me. Why? Because we're right. We got hurt. I didn't like those words. I've got to say something about it. No, you don't. Let me say that again with a smile and pleasantly. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to. Did you hear that? You don't have to. Let's say that with me. You don't have to. You don't have to. You can love instead. Remember the Apostle Peter's words to those of us who are followers of Jesus? We've probably read that in the New Testament. He said in 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love enables us to forgive a whole lot of sins. Are any of you parents, don't hold your hand up, but we'll know it. Are any of you parents of a rambunctious little boy? You know, yeah, you're laughing. Yeah, here you are. Okay, yeah. Are you parents, are you grandparents of a rambunctious little boy? You know the kind I'm talking about. The one that, you just bought the new lamp, but the little boy plays quite wildly sometimes, and he knocks the new lamp down on the hardwood floor, and there it goes. He's the kind of little boy that, you just got through rug doctoring. You know, the wife's been after you a while, been kindly telling you, you better clean that, you know, and so you got the rug doctor and you're saving money yourself, so you do the rugs and you get the whole house clean like that, and it's raining outside and your little rambunctious boy's playing outside, and he comes running in. No, wait, he's running in because why? He's got to go to the bathroom, and you've talked to him so many times about don't go behind the tree, go in the house. And so he's running in the house and he forgets to wipe his feet in mud right all across your clean carpet. Oh my. And he's the one little boy that when he's sitting at the dinner table and you got a pizza coming and you fixed the pizza. Homemade pizza, it's your best pizza. And he's sitting at the table, got a big glass of Pepsi, and you sit the pizza down on the middle of the table, and you know, you say, let's pray, and he knows you're supposed to wait till you pray, and so he waits, and as soon as the prayer is over, he reaches to grab his pizza, and he knocks his Pepsi all over, total glass full on your pizza. Love covers a multitude of sins. Yeah. Not only with little boys, but with big boys. Not only with little girls, but with full-grown women. Love covers a multitude of sins. A related concept is found for us in Proverbs 17:4. Just let it go. Just let it go. The beginning, it tells us, of verse 17:4, it says, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Abandon, don't even go there. Don't start the quarrel. It may seem like a minor thing, but it often grows beyond our control. What Solomon wants us to imagine and have an image in our mind is that of a dam. Have that in your mind, a picture of a dam. And then it gets a little slow leak in it. It's just a small leak. It's a small leak. But as that thing keeps going, the hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger until the dam breaks. That's the verse. The beginning of strife is like that little leak of water in the dam, and before long it breaks out, and whoa, it's a whole lot worse than you ever imagined. You may hear someone say, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. You may have said that, but you may have heard someone else say, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. If you hear someone say that, say this to them. Please don't do that. You don't have any to spare. No. Those are not pleasant words. Don't say that. Unless it's your husband. No, you can't go there either. You can't say it to him either, okay? No. Just understand that there are times we should forget it. Don't even go there. It's not worth it. Let it go. Even if you are right. Even if you are right, even if you've got it correct and you know that, so what? How much is that really going to matter? Do you really have to just prove your point? What's that point worth? A fight? That can get to be a bigger fight? Over how much is half glass full of Pepsi that you wanted and they poured 3/4 and you... I mean... A lot bigger things as well, but we can let it go. Just let it go. Solomon adds, a fool's vexation is known at once, Proverbs 12:16. But a prudent man conceals dishonor. A fool's vexation is known at once. A fool, you got it? Something happens, what's he do? I could say what she do too. I will be both. You know, what happens? They blow up. It's not just their tongue going, it's their whole body's going. It's known at once. What are you saying? What'd you do that for? Yeah, calm down. Gentlemen, calm down. That's what's needed there. Yeah. That's a fool. That's the vexation is known at once. But a prudent man conceals dishonor. A prudent man ignores an insult. A prudent man or woman let it roll off the back of, like water off a duck, yeah. Ignores the insult. Just be wise. Just let it go. Sometimes you're the third party and the sin is not against, if the sin is against you, then you can let it go. It's against you. You have the choice of forgiving, loving, letting it go, dealing with it, however, but you had that choice. If it's against a brother or sister, someone else, you see this offense taking, or your friend says something or out of line, and as Pastor Roger admonished us last week from the book of Philemon, be biblical with it. Be a biblical friend. Be a friend, Proverbs 27:6 tells us. Solomon says, he says it this way, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. I think we got that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A real friend will tell you what's what. A real friend will point out your blind spots. A real friend will say to you, you know what, you came on a little strong there. I know you're right, but you came on stronger than you. You had a great opportunity to be gracious, and you weren't. A real friend will say that to you. And if you are wise, when that friend tells you you were out of line, you will humbly and kindly respond, thank you. Thank you. You don't do what's normal. Normal, we get immediately our defenses go up. While he had it, blah, blah, blah. No. It's your friend talking to you. They're telling you something. Listen, because a friend will tell you the truth. And if we are wise, we step back and say, thank you. Yeah, how can I fix this? Help me out here. How do I need to change? What do I need to do to make amends with this person that you saw me rip into? That's a friend. If Solomon were here today, he would probably say, when in conflict, pause and ask yourself, what's the wise thing to do? Pause and ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do? And in light of Solomon's wisdom, choose the wise. We're going to have the one thing, following Pastor Roger's design, the one thing is to do the wise thing. The one thing today is do the wise thing. You will have conflict. The fool does their thing. The wise does God's thing. By the way, you'll probably have an opportunity to practice this week. Father, thank you. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for giving us wisdom to deal with everyday life, life that comes our way whether we want it or not. Thank you. Now, Lord, let us apply this. Let it be truly wisdom, not just knowledge. Let it be truly wisdom, something that we know that we apply to our lives. Lord, help us to do that well, that we might honor you and be the type of people and church you want us to be. Amen. As the orchestra is going to come up, or is...